Hello and welcome to the Camping Crew Podcast with Chris and Aaron.
Hi everybody, welcome to episode 187 of the Camping Crew Podcast. I'm Aaron Birchall.
And I'm Chris Byrne.
As always, it's meant to be a fun podcast. We're just enthusiasts, and what we discuss on the podcast are our own personal views, and we look into things that you ask us to look into.
If you'd like to support the podcast, and if you can afford to, totally optional, you can buy us a coffee at ko-fi.com/ The Camping Crew. We want to say thank you to Bill and Carl for a recent contribution.
We always kick off with a bit of news, and I think this is possibly the best news of 2023 thus far. Would you agree with this?
Without a shadow of a doubt, Aaron, tell me about it.
It's a meetup. Now, you know, there are meetups all year round, but this is the meetup of 2023. So Charlie and me, our camping vlog and camping crew podcast with Aaron and Chris meetup. It's on at Tree Grove Caravan and Camping Park. It's on the New Ross Road in Kilkenny. And it's on Friday, the 29th, and Saturday, the 30th of September of this year, of our Lord 2023.
I hear it's a little bit scaled back this year, and I don't think we're bringing in any circus animals or trapeze acts this year.
It's a little bit like Fantastival was a couple of years ago. Yeah, it's scaled back. I don't think there's going to be a disco, or as you say, I don't think there's going to be elephants or giraffes or anything like that. So it's just, you know what I was going to call it?
A get-together.
A bit of a get-together, a couple of coffees or a couple of beverages sitting around an old fire. If you have a musical instrument, however, do bring it with you. You did the last time, so there's no point in me even saying that. Yeah, the meetup is on. It's Friday the 29th, Saturday the 30th. It's back at Tree Grove in Kilkenny. You've got to give Dan a buzz, 086-830-8845, or you can get him on email at info@kilkennycamping.com. I suggest you ring him. There are a few pitches left, so do it within the next 24-48 hours. It's Friday the 29th, Saturday the 30th of September. Basically, it's going to be really the Saturday, isn't it? Because people will be arriving on the Friday. Just a bit of a get together. We'll have some of our stickers and stuff and pens and stuff, but it's not as big as
the general area and have an old brew running on
up at the kitchen area.
Key. And the Saturday then we'll have a group get together then.
Yeah, and just have a chat. And look, we will be recording for video, and we more than likely will take out the microphones and get a few grabs for the podcast as well. So Friday and Saturday, 29th and 30th of September, give Dan a buzz, 086-830-8845. We would love to meet you. And thank you to everybody who's been tagging us on Instagram and Twitter saying booked, booked, booked. Looking forward to meeting a lot of people there.
Yeah, and if you have booked in, you might let us know as well. We'd be interested. We're kind of leaving our contact Dan every few days just to get to let kind of the numbers build up, which when last chat with them, they've been building up nicely now. So as Aaron said, get in quick.
Right. Now, we had a couple of people making inquiries, and there's a bit of chatter online as well about sites that are open this year. Now, we've covered this before, and we tend to cover it around now about winter sites in Ireland. Now, I know Charlie and me have a vlog up from around this time last year where we went and visited four or five campsites that were open all year round. But it's campingireland.ie. On their website, they do have a fairly up-to-date list, haven't they, of places that are open.
Yeah, I shared that out on our Twitter a few weeks ago. But if you go in there, you'll find in their blog section, they've got some sites there. And if anyone is aware of any other sites that are not in that list, feel free to share it with us on our social media, just for the rest of the gang. I know there's a couple of groups up on Facebook that are sharing it as well. So certainly we're going to do our utmost to camp as late as we can into this year and as early as we can next year as well. So we hope to meet up with a few on the remaining campsites.
Now, that list on Camping Ireland, there are a few of them where they suggest ring beforehand because the people might live on site or pretty close to site. So please do make the phone call. And also, Mountain Forge Escape in Cork isn't on the list, but there are a few. And I think most of them have Facebook pages or websites that you can check if you're heading in that area. And as I say, head on to charlieandme.ie, click on the map, and we have a list there of a few places that we covered last year that were open for the winter.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe that Ardmore is staying open all year round as well. I believe there are plans to keep the hard stands opened up into the all year as well. But look, I'm sure he'll have more details up about that, if that is in fact the case, very soon as well.
Yeah, and again, just keep your eye on social media and stick us an old email. We'll give you the contact details and we'll do our best to find out for you as well. Right, what's happening with the online chatter?
Yeah, a lot of online chatter actually out since earlier this week, and I've seen it posted in a lot of groups, but more potential good news. There've been a news article and some pictures of the planning permission that has been lodged with Waterford Council for permission to construct a motorhome park in Tramore. It looks like they're going to be 53 motorhome pitches according to the planning application. So the development was at the Tramore Borough area, has been lodged at Waterford Council, and looking for construction of a 11,000 odd square metre motorhome park, which sounds like a quite sizable motorhome park. The development, as we said, has 53 motorhome pitches, 4 fully accessible family-friendly glamping pods, 10 electricity and water service points, 1 motorhome waste disposal point, an external bike shelter, a staff car parking space with a set-down area. It also includes a playground area, a one-story surf club and motorhome ancillary building, staff canteen, reception area, changing rooms and bathrooms. That sounds, sorry, a cafe and a food plaza there as well. That sounds like an amazing facility, Aaron, if that gets the go ahead. Hopefully now, I know Tramore has been getting lots and lots of bad press over the years, so hopefully this will help turn that around.
Even, look, I think there are going to be objections, but even if it's cut down from 53 to 33, it's just, there is somebody willing to spend money in Tramore for motorhomes and camper people in general. And please God, fingers crossed, even if there are objections, the council will see fit and grant the permission.
From what I see living in Tramore, all of the other campsites are full all summer as well. So, you know, I don't think anyone's going to lose out here by having more spaces, especially if you look at Facebook, you see all the people saying, oh, Tramore is awful, I'm never coming back here, not welcome. I only saw one as early as today. Somebody parked there in a valid spot, had our parking ticket up, and they were still ticketed.
Yeah, they went to get chips.
So, you know, it is a bit crazy, but hopefully this will give people a bit more place. And it's right down on the beachside as well, which is what everybody wants in a seaside area, you know.
Fingers crossed, and with Chris being a local, you'll probably hear about it on local networks anyway, so we will keep you updated as we hear what's going on. And in fact, the local radio station where I used to work, WLR, I'm sure they'll get in touch with us as well to have an old chat about it if things do go in the right direction. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been in all the newspapers. As you said, it's on WLRFM.com if you want to have a read of it, or the local newspaper here is the News and Star or the Munster Express. I'm sure they all have it covered.
Right, listeners, messages, follow-ups and shout-outs. We got a question from Dean, and it was a technical one, and it was forwarded on to me, I'd say, as soon as you got it.
Well, so you have some connections here to be able to help out. So I'll read out the message there. It says, hey guys, a question maybe you could ask the audience. A knowledgeable auto electrician might be needed. Haha. So that's why I sent it to you, Aaron. You're the former electrician. So I bought a split charge relay, which I haven't installed yet, on my old coach-built motorhome. It's sitting on a 97 LT35 chassis. The idea of the split charge relay is to monitor the starter battery voltage, and when it is full, the relay closes and charges the leisure battery. When the van is running, the alternator is running as well, putting out 14.4 volts. The starter battery is common to the alternator, so when the van is running, the starter battery is 14.4 volts while charging. In this case, the split charge relay will close as it reads a higher than fully charged volume, which is 12.8, thinking the starter battery is fully charged when it might not be. Especially when both batteries are low and the van starts, as does the alternator, charge both batteries at once as the relay is closed straight away, seeing the 14.4 volts. Does this not defeat the purpose of the relay's job? Charging starter battery first when fully closed and then charging leisure battery. I hope this makes sense. Love the show. Kind regards. Aaron, I'm going to hand that over to you because that was all French to me.
Right. In fairness, when I read said email, it was all French to me because I avoid split charge relays like the plague. In saying that, I am going to have to fit one to the VW. So I got on to Tristan at Pat Horan Motors, who has often said to me, if ever you get a technical question, give me a shout. And he said, the split charge voltage sensed relay, as the name suggests, senses voltage, not the state of charge. So once the alternator is running and outputting usually 13 to 14 volts, the split charge relay closes and links the engine and leisure batteries together. It has no way of knowing which battery is fully charged or low. So basically, it charges all the batteries on board when it's driving. So the alternator, which normally charges your car battery, but when this relay senses that there's a low voltage somewhere, it clicks out and it waits till it has a common voltage of 13 to 14 volts. And then it knows that the batteries are charged. It doesn't know which battery, it just needs to throw out voltage. So fit it. I would just say to you, Dean, fit it, because I am actually going to fit one. Basically, it means when you're driving, your alternator is charging your leisure batteries as well. Don't worry about how it works. Just know that it works.
Yeah, I sent that on to Dean and he said, OK, so that makes sense. He said the job of the relay is to separate the batteries when the van is stopped and only close when it sees the alternator voltage. If both batteries were low from being off grid for a few days, then on startup, the alternator would be working pretty hard.
Yeah.
For this reason, I'm going to get solar installed to prolong the life of the alternator. And I think you save fuel as well, as it's working less. Looking forward to the next show. Kind regards, Dean.
Yeah, the thing about an alternator is rated, we'll say, for 148, usually plenty for your car battery. And then we introduce a leisure battery. But when you introduce second leisure battery, you could be putting your alternator under a little bit of stress. So I would suggest solar. Now, I don't have the space on the VW for solar, so I'm only using one leisure battery, where on the Hymer, I have solar, I have a split charge relay, and I have two leisure batteries. But the alternator is never working hard because the solar is really doing its job and the split charge relay is more or less a backup, to be honest. So you're doing the right thing, Dean. Definitely fit it. But I would say, yes, solar is the way to go. I would suggest, my personal opinion, anybody out there with a new van, old van, any kind of van, get solar. Even if it's just for one leisure battery, get one little 100 watt solar panel. It makes a massive difference. And remember, I'm plugged in 99.9 times out of 100 and I still love having solar.
Yeah, look, it just, as you said, it just kind of tops everything up for you. It keeps you going, especially with us all having all the devices to charge up. You know, it only helps that as well. So, look, I'd love to say I completely understand it all now, but we'll move rightly on.
I'll right draw now. You a diagram and I'll give it to you at the meetup.
Now you're OK. I'm grand. Do you want to read there Anne's email?
Anne was on to us on the heading and I got a little bit of a surprise when I saw this. Doggy dining from Anne. Hi, Aaron, Chris. This might be of interest to campers with dogs. The Doggy Dining Club on Facebook. It's a map showing doggy friendly restaurants, pubs and accommodation in Ireland. There is a €10 yearly subscription to access the map, which has details of each place and reviews by members. There is also a members chat group on Facebook. We find it very useful as we have two dogs when traveling with us and we have used it throughout the summer of this year. Really enjoying the Camping Crew podcast, the Charlie and Me campsite reviews. It's a must go to before we travel. Best wishes, Anne. That is a brilliant idea because more and more people are traveling with dogs.
Yeah, we've really grown as a country. We've really grown so attached to our dogs. And I've seen, you know, more and more places across the country kind of accept dogs and allow dogs in. Some indoors, some in kind of covered beer gardens and that. And even some restaurants and hotels have kind of places set up for dogs now as well. So definitely something I'm going to check out. I think €10 a year is definitely worth it if you do travel regularly and want to take your dog or doggies with you.
Yeah, well, we'll keep you updated with that. And Anne, thank you for getting in touch and thank you for talking about that. So it's the Doggy Dining Club on Facebook. And I'm sure on that Facebook group, you get all of the details of the yearly subscription and how to access the map. Now, David F. was on to you as well via email.
Yes, he says, hi, Aaron and Chris. Been listening to the podcast from the early days. Still listening. A question for you, and more importantly, the listeners. David says, I have a large satellite dish on my van. I've never used it because if I did need to watch television, I would usually use a Fire Stick or pop in a DVD, which is built into the TV. And he said DVDs are now dirt cheap in charity shops. He said, I was thinking of removing it. I'm sure I would be helping my payload as well. Has anyone done this? If it's removed, what about the control winder mechanism inside on the ceiling? How did anyone fill the void left? I think satellite dishes are now more or less obsolete, I would say, unless you're into your kind of live television. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Kind regards. David is driving a Rapido 775F.
Would it save you a lot on payload? Because I'm sure it's not, you know, like those dishes are designed because they're for motorhomes and going onto a flimsy roof that they're not the heaviest. However, wind resistance, and maybe it would save you fuel and maybe it would save you payload. If you're taking off the dish, you're looking at the cable hole and possibly four or five mounting holes. I would suggest you go to a panel beater and ask them to remove it and fill it, because they'll seal it with the right type of stuff and a bit of aluminium. On the B-Bar, I took out two air conditioning units and I sealed them with two road traffic signs that I had, loads of Gary's glue, but then I knew I was sealing the roof in total. So I would suggest, David, get a panel beater to give you a price on doing that.
Yeah, and ideally you want to go to a panel beater that's knowledgeable with motorhomes as well, and using all the right stuff, I would say, for sealing everything. And if you're going to do it yourself, maybe some of the listeners have done something like that before. Maybe they want to offer their advice. If you want to drop us an email, we'd certainly pass that on to David, and we'll mention it on the next podcast or two if anyone wants to come back to us with any advice for David on removing the satellite dish and basically and sealing that back up. And maybe someone could come up for a good use of that hollow space that's going to be made as well, whether it's fitting in lights or putting a Wi-Fi receiver or something maybe into that space. There'd be two suggestions for me, maybe.
Yeah, we'll give you the contact details at the end of the show, and you can let us know if you have done it, or if you know somebody who will do it, or if you have any information on that at all.
You had a video up there, Charlie and me, this morning, Aaron.
We had a video up on Charlie and me this morning. The title was, Did It Pass or Did It Fail? It was the DOE for the van build, my T3 Dream video. As you know, it failed its DOE a couple of weeks back on brake seals and rust.
And was it good news or bad news?
It was good and bad news, Chris. The video stated that the good news was that, yeah, it passed.
Hey.
And I was delighted. The guy came out and he said to me, I have good news and I have bad news. And I went, of course you have. And he said, it passed. And I didn't care about the bad news until we got outside. And he said, do you want the bad news? And I went, no, I don't care. It passed. He went, okay. And I went, go on, what is it? He says, it won't start.
Oh, no.
He was letting me sit in and find out the bad news. I've got a diesel. I've got an air diesel mix. For some reason, the engine is sucking in air and it shouldn't be. So I had to actually get towed home from the DOE center, from outside. I got it going and I broke down 100 meters outside. But it passed. Now, listen, can I give you a little bit of information? When it passed, I was expecting, because it's over 30 years old, I was expecting a 2-year CVRT DOE cert. And he said to me, it won't start. And I said, we put some diesel into it, which we did. And he said, right, I'll see you next year. And I said, I'll see you in 2 years. And he went, no, you only get a 1-year cert. Now, can I explain this for anybody who is thinking of DOEing, NCTing a 30-year-old camper van or van for that matter? When I DOE'd the ambulance, it had been off the road, the Irish roads, for 3 years, as far as they were concerned. And I only got a 6-month DOE cert, which is half what I should have got. I only got a year on the T3, which is half what I should have got, because she's been off the road for 7 years. If a vehicle has not been road tested in more than 1 year, you only get half the test. So I got a year cert. With a camper van or an old vehicle, if you're going for a DOE, not an NCT, this is for a light goods vehicle, you must fill in a declaration of non-commercial use. It's a form that's available on the RSA website. It basically is your name, the reg, the VIN number, the colour of the vehicle, and you sign it. And that's basically it. And the lady, I emailed that off the next day to the RSA. She emailed me back saying, okay, Aaron, the reason you only got a year is your van was off the road for more than a year, and you get half of what you're due, which is 1 year because I was due 2 years. But she said on your next DOE, you will get a 2 year cert. So basically, if you're DOEing a light goods vehicle over 30 years, make sure you fill in a declaration of non-commercial use. And then you get your 2 year cert.
So what you're saying, if you're running a chipper or a coffee dock out of your camper or driving around,
do not fill in a declaration of commercial use. It's just, she said it's for camper vans, light good vehicles, yeah, as long as they're not being used for commercial use. And then you'll get a DOE. So otherwise, if I don't fill that in, I'll just have to cert the van every year, DOE the van every year.
Yeah, I know.
I got a bit of a shock, but I was delighted. She passed. She is now taxed. She is insured. She is DOE'd for a year. She's still sitting in the shed up on four blocks, waiting for my mechanic between Thursday and Friday to drop the fuel tank, put in a new fuel line. And please God, I will be taking it for a spin on Saturday. And I hope to have it down at the meetup, not to camp in it, just to show it to people who have been following us. And that'll make it down to the meetup in Kilkenny on the 29th and 30th.
Yeah, and I look forward to that meetup. And our van, talking about old vans, is kind of getting old as well. And, you know, I kind of fix one problem and something else the next time I'm in it fails, and then you fix that and something else. I'm kind of at that stage now as well. So, you know, looking at other people's experience, I kind of, that older van, you kind of want to budget for all these kind of ongoing costs.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Gets, you know, and
when you take into tax, insurance, running costs, you nearly want to stick. And you know what? You get nothing done for 200 quid. There's no more 200 quid faults. They tend to add up. You know, they really, really do on the older vans. But yeah, we hope to have it down for its maiden voyage, of course, will be to the Glen of Aherlow with myself and Charlie. And that will be a full camping experience. But we hope to have it in Kilkenny for the meetup in 2 weeks' time. So that was today's video. We've no video this Friday or the next couple of Fridays because we've got family stuff going on for the next week or so. But yeah, youtube.com/CharlieAmirCampingVlog. Thank you to everybody who has commented and sent us comments on Instagram as well. We are delighted. It's done. The van is not finished. I have to get the carpeting done. I have to hang the curtains. And then I have to do a draw because anybody who donated to the van build is going into a draw for a Charlie and Me hamper of T-shirts and mugs and pens and stuff like that. So I'll do that draw possibly in October, but I'll tell you all about it on the podcast during October.
Brilliant. So that's it, Aaron. That's the end of another podcast. Certainly a busy couple of weeks of news and activity and questions from the listeners. So look, keep the questions coming in. I know some people are winding down. Some people are still pushing the campers. We'd love to know what your plans are now for the next few months.
Yeah, if there's somewhere where you're going during the winter months, or if you have a must-go-to campsite that you can recommend that maybe isn't on the Camping Ireland list, please do get in touch. Just get in touch if you want to have a chat with us at all. We love getting your messages and your ideas, campsite suggestions. We love your reviews, suggestions for product reviews, anything that you want us to discuss news-wise. And if you have any information that could help out maybe David regarding taking off that satellite system, and even if you've got more news that could possibly, although I think Dean is happy with the split charge relay, but if you've got experiences with anything we've discussed on any of the podcasts, get in touch. But of course, to get in touch, you need all of our contact details, and Chris has all of our contact details.
Just so happens I do. So our email address is campingcrewpodcast@gmail.com. Our webpage is thecampingcrew.ie. On Twitter or X, we're @thecampingcrew. On Instagram, we're @thecampingcrewpodcast. On Facebook, you'll find us in all the good motorhome and camping groups. If you want to send us an audio message, record it on your smartphone and send it in via email. And yeah, that's about it. We'd love to hear you. Hear from you.
And don't forget, we have campsitereview.com. We've got a forum there. It's free and it always will be. And we've got youtube.com/CharlieAndMe, our camping vlog for the video reviews and the T3 build, the van build updates. And of course, you can just go on to charlieandme.ie and there's a link to Campsite Review and to our YouTube. That is it. So don't forget the meetup. It's on Friday and Saturday, the 29th, 30th of September, Tree Grove. Give Dan a buzz, 086-830-8845. We would love to see you guys there for the meetup at the end of September. From me, Aaron Birchall, stay safe.
And it's a goodbye from me, Chris. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please tell all your friends about us.
Well, that's it for another podcast from the Camping Crew. Thanks for listening, and do join us again very soon. Safe camping.